nice to be here with the CSUN family. So, justice. We all have an idea what that means, but there are different visions of justice, so we can't take it for granted. To understand our own tradition, we need to go back to the source. Jesus was a common worker in a Roman economy that kept down the wages of the poor. His resistance to that injustice is rooted in the rabbinical tradition, where the meaning of justice is about right relationship. His justice took spiritual as well as civic form. He introduced people to the kingdom. He introduced a whole new way of living, bringing people together, rich and poor, across ethnicity, age and sex, educational background, across class. We could say to build a common good. This element of relationship runs right through the themes of biblical justice. For example, did you know that the meaning of lending money in Hebrew, which is kesef talve, is close to the meaning accompaniment? Accompaniment. Lending means accompaniment. In God's economy, if you're having a hard time, I'm to walk in relationship with you, accompany you until you get back on your feet, for as long as it takes. Not just give cash and leave you alone. The Catholic social justice tradition is anchored in God's economy, this economy of mutual obligation and right relationship. As Pope Paul VI said, we're here to help people become artisans of their own destiny. Catholic social justice rests on these three cornerstones of human dignity, solidarity, and subsidiarity. And ours is a transcendent vision of justice, where human beings are in relationship with each other and with God. So, to interpret this justice tradition in our own time, we have the See, Judge, Act method, which is in the report. But how do we see? How do we judge? And how do we act? These how questions are about social, political, and economic choices. And to make the right choices, we need to be anchored in our own tradition, or we're at risk of mission drift. And currently shaping our world, there are two secular visions of justice. The utilitarian, focusing on welfare, is currently conjoined with the libertarian, which focuses on rights and freedom from constraint, a false idea of freedom. And this libertarian-utilitarian combination is what underpins our current operating system, the sea in which we swim. As a method of how to do justice, this utilitarian-libertarian combination is utterly different from our own transcendent relational tradition. And this is important because when Christians forget their own tradition, the risk is that we inadvertently prop up these secular choices, these utilitarian, welfarist, or libertarian choices. So let's go back to See, Judge, Act and how we see what's going on from a Christian justice perspective. Our Catholic social teaching framework helps us understand the world. It's based on Christian anthropology, rooted in natural law, where human beings are relational beings who thrive in relationship with each other and with God. These transcendent relational fundamentals underpin our model of justice. This is the frame for how we see what's going on. And Catholic social teaching calls us to look at what is happening to human beings, what's happening to families, to communities, to relationships, to God's creation. So in this new time, what do we see? Well, we see many examples of loving kindness, community, interdependence, of human beings doing their thing. But we also see that this is coming under increasing threat. We see injustice. We see a system generating pockets of intense wealth, like this area that we happen to be in now, but also poverty and civic degradation on a vast scale. We see 5 million of our fellow citizens on out-of-work benefits, 14 million living in poverty. We see a succession of economic crises. We see work becoming precarious, housing becoming unaffordable, the discarding of whole sections of society. We see the dehumanisation and the exploitation of human beings in euthanasia, the liberalisation of abortion, sexual exploitation. We see the commodification and financialisation of everything. Land, water, homes, human beings. We see the concentration of power and the weakening of local agency. We see catastrophic damage to the natural world. And we see division, isolation and fragmentation, symptoms of human distress, relationship breakdown, family breakdown, falling levels of trust, a mental health crisis. Now, for those who live in pockets of affluence, this damage may be invisible. But those in poor areas see it more clearly. What you see depends on where you stand. So how do we judge what we see? Catholic social teaching is our framework for good judgment. And correctly understood, it's non-partisan, and it equips us to call out any system, whether capitalist or collectivist or whatever, that is dehumanising. That's what it does. And from this analysis of political economy, we can judge that our prevailing operating system is broken. We can judge that it causes human degradation, vast inequality, the weakening of families. It weakens virtues like responsibility and mutual obligation. It frames them as outdated. It undermines our justice cornerstones of human dignity, solidarity, and subsidiarity. Effectively, it's an assault on relationship. So if we're really seeing clearly, we can judge that this operating system generates what I would call a politics of abandonment. If we think of our population as one body, then the body is broken. Not just here either. Every country that's adopted this system is seeing the same thing. So we can begin to understand that this unholy alliance of this utilitarian welfarist state market collusion that attempts to mitigate the multiple forms of poverty that it generates, but produced by its libertarian neoliberal economy, it's not only unjust, it's defeatist. It's an inefficient, vicious cycle. It's dysfunctional and it's unstable. The so-called cost of living crisis is just one of many crises that this system generates. So we need to focus on system reform, not just on mitigating the effects of its dysfunction. So as Christians, we do need to be careful, because arguing for essential needs to be met, that's imperative, of course, but if we don't frame that within a bigger story of system failure, Christians inadvertently end up propping up an unjust system. They can even repress prophetic justice. But it's not just about the economy. The logic underpinning this low-wage, high-welfare economic model has moral, social, and spiritual consequences too. And despite people's valiant efforts to uphold the sacred and build relationship, this culture of transactional individualism atomizes, separates, it generates tribalism, it generates identitarian ideologies, the battle of all against all. And its logic leads governments to over-centralise power and collude with big business, and coerce and control, going above and around democratic processes, undermining human agency. So we can judge that we have what Pope Francis calls a malign culture. He says it's dehumanising, it's unjust, it's doing great damage, especially to the young and to the poor. In this malign culture, it's no coincidence that we see steep rises in loneliness, statistically higher, by the way, among the young than the old. It's no coincidence that we see bizarre belief systems emerging. We're living through a period of accelerated social, moral, and political confusion. So from the position of our relational, transcendent justice tradition, we can judge that this operating system is anti-human. And this is why it's unraveling. This is why it's generating so many pathologies. Pope Francis is right to say that this is not just an era of change, but a change of era. And the truth is, we don't know what the new era will bring, which is why how we respond is so important. But amidst all this, as Christians, we know that God is at work. That's our hope. We don't deal in false hope. We tell the truth to power, in faith and in love. Remember, Catholic social teaching began as a response to a moment of seismic change, the Industrial Revolution, and it can guide us again now. We're called to see, to judge, but also to act, to shine a light on this philosophy underpinning these dark systems, but also to promote the way of God's kingdom. And consistent with subsidiarity, we are all called to take responsibility at the appropriate level. The person, the family, the neighbourhood, the local, the regional, the governmental, the international. So at the level of statecraft, we're called to propose a political economy consistent with our tradition. And in practice, what does this mean? It means decentralising the banks, decentralising the energy providers. It means the dignity of work, insisting on work. You must not capitulate to a workless future. It means investment for jobs and skills training in the abandoned areas. It means distributing power and assets. It means enabling that thick layer of healthy civil society institutions which can resist the dominance of capital and state power. It means building a common good between capital and labour, between finance and production. And the local level involves us all directly. We must strengthen each other through partnership, through mutual engagement and encouragement. Churches, religious institutions, schools, unions, clubs, guilds, local businesses, associations, charities. This justice tradition of right relationship, it cuts through every level. It invites all of us to be relational. So our acts of justice involve listening to each other and to the Holy Spirit. It involves dialogue, robust deliberation, repentance, redemption, forgiveness, and reconciliation. These are the gifts that we can bring. And for parishes and charities, it means proactively living in solidarity with poor communities through real relationships, accompanying people to get on their feet. It means cultivating their leadership. The poor are meant to be the treasure of the church, not an afterthought. Pope Francis goes further. He says the church needs to be evangelized by the poor, because someone who is poor has a sense of their need for others and for God, an instinct for interdependence that the affluent and the busy so easily lose. So this reciprocity is the great mystery at the heart of God's special love for the poor. And this is why Pope Francis says we must stop outsourcing and take personal responsibility. He says solutions are not to be found in activism or welfareism. He says it's personal. He's actually explicit. He says we are to share our table. So this is challenging, isn't it, for social action and the service provider posture as we currently know it. Francis is calling us to relationship, to leave behind this divisive dynamic of benefactor-recipient. to refuse the idolatry of Christian volunteer as rescuer. Think about it. Instead, he says we are to build relationship with people who are poor, not as recipients, but as neighbours and friends. Our tradition of relational justice, God's economy, underpins our prophetic witness and a proper holistic understanding of evangelization. We're to look for opportunities where everything becomes an occasion for communion with our neighbours. We're meant to be building a common good. This is the path to spiritual and civic renewal. Thank you.